Introducing Instagram Teen Accounts, a new way to keep your teen safer as they grow. Like making sure they've got the right gear for riding.
Knee pads.
Check.
And helmet.
Done. See you, Dad.
New Instagram Teen Accounts. Automatic protections for who can contact your teen and the content they can see.
What if you could get the benefits of fasting without starving yourself? Prolon's five-day program leverages nutrition technology to develop actual food that mimics the effects of fasting. It's clinically proven to trigger a fasting state while you eat. That's why Prolon is not a diet. Prolon is the future of nutrition. Prolon is offering listeners 15% off site-wide, plus a $40 bonus gift when you subscribe to their five-day program. Just visit ProlonLife.com. That's ProlonLife.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
You Don't Know What War is the number one best-selling book. It's written by a 12-year-old, Yeva Skalietska. And Yeva, in the book, documents her journey from Kharkiv to Dublin through her diary entries, pictures, texts, news headlines. Yeva's debut novel has been described by Roddy Doyle as exhilarating, shattering, heartbreaking, brilliant. And Yeva's with me in the studio. Yeva, good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here. Now, you took time off school this morning to come here, so we're glad that you could do that. Will you bring me back to what life was like before the invasion of Ukraine by Russia in February 24th? What life was like for you?
I was normal schoolgirl and I attend school. I study excellent and I had a lot of hobbies. I played on the piano individually, and once a week I attend my teacher, music teacher, in the town of my city, and I was painting, and my neighbor she teached me how to paint, and I loved bowling, and sometimes with my friends I have played, and in my birthday, 19th of February, 5 days before the war, it was like the best day where I spent with my friends. And in 14th February, it was just like normal day when we just celebrated with my relatives.
So you had a birthday and you went bowling with your pals and had a great day out and life was really good. When you went to bed on the 23rd of February, did you have any idea that war might be approaching? I mean, were you talking about it with your grandmother, with your friends in school, that there might be a war?
Well, there is also a lot of rumors, and you was talking about that a lot about this, but we actually didn't believe that, because we have relatives there. My father, my great grandmother, they live in Russia, and we have a lot of friends there. So there is no sense to war, but like everything changes at 24th of February. I couldn't believe that war started, but when we saw missiles were flying over the fields, we were just afraid. And when my grandmother said that Putin really start war with Ukraine, I knew that she was telling truth, but I couldn't believe.
Now, you had to go to the basement in your building, not necessarily designed to be a bomb shelter. How terrifying was it at that time?
So there was like quite a lot of people, our neighbors from block of flats, and the horrible thing that was a lot of dust. When children were walking and somebody was walking there was like the sand and then it's like, you know, dust and sometimes when it was bombings, there was so terrifying, and I didn't know where to hide. And I sit with my grandmother, and only with her I felt safe.
So you're down in the basement, but there's stuff belonged to you upstairs in your apartment. Did you go back up?
Yes, only twice, because we knew that it was dangerous, and sometimes like people So we stayed. We slept in the shelter, and some people they slept in their apartments. But we thought that it was so dangerous because we are in the fifth floor, and we didn't know what would happen. So and we only twice came there, because just to have lunch, to take some stuff, and I brought my golden diary.
Now, the Golden Diary is what gave rise to this book, because you decided to keep a diary of exactly what was happening every day. Why did you do that?
Well, a lot of people, like, we were panicking, and we tried to stay calm. And for me, in me, it was like tension, and for me, it was like hard to discuss with everything that happens. And I decided that everything that I will feel, I'll describe in my diary every day, because I will speak with my voice inside, and I wanted that after 10-20 years I will read this, and I will live through this emotionally, and maybe I'll read how war was like in Ukraine.
Very difficult to leave everything behind, but after several days of the bombing and you could hear the noise of the explosions, you decided that you had to move.
Yes, in 6 days of the war, it was like the terrible day. We knew that our apartments were bombed, and something in my soul and in my heart that it's something is bombed as well, because I spent there all my childhood. I remember like how I was doing my homework in the kitchen, how I was painting in the living room, and when I got news that our kitchen is bombed and three walls is bombed, it was like I was crying a lot. And in the evening, the drone was dropping the bombs, and my grandma she saw this huge drone, and she even fall in the floor. And we didn't want to go to the shelter, because we knew if bomb will drop in our house, the shelter will be like, you know,
there'll be no getting out.
Yeah, no. There won't be.
So you did move, leaving a lot of stuff behind, but then your home was largely destroyed by the bombs. And you moved to a different part of Kharkiv before you then set off on a much longer journey.
Yeah, and so like, and then in 7th day, we were trying to like ask for help to move to the Dnipro, or I don't know, like to West Ukraine to get a taxi, but no one didn't work, and our relatives, friends, they refused to help because the city was bombing, and we just were depressed. But we had a faith in God, and we say, if God wills, we will get out, if not, we'll stay. But then it happens, a miracle, that we got a numbers of volunteers, and then we contact them so quickly, and they came to us and brought us to the Dnipro, and then we stayed in the apartments of our family's friend, and then we moved to the Uzhgorod, and we catch the train.
Were you able to talk to your mother? She was in Turkey, and your father, I know they've split up, but he was in Russia, and your grandparents. Were you able to take advice from them? I mean, were your mobile phones working? Were you able to talk?
Well, they don't know what war is so far. But we called to our, like, for example, grandma, my uncle, my friends. And we ask them sometimes for helping, or we ask them like, where are they going, or what are they going to do? We told them like, where are we going to do, where we will go, or something like that.
Now, you wanted to go to Great Britain, to England, because your ambition was to go to Oxford.
Yes, but there was like problem with visa. And so
yes, because
complicated.
Britain is outside the EU now, so the same rules that apply across the EU don't apply to Great Britain anymore. So, who suggested Ireland to you?
When we came to Uzhgorod and met journalists, we didn't want to leave Uzhgorod, but we were trying to find accommodation, but there was awful because a lot of people came from other parts of Ukraine. And then we realized that school is going to start their education, and we needed to leave. So we said journalists that we are going to Hungary, and they were in this time in Hungary, and they met us, and we said we will go. I think we'll go to Ireland, because here's people speak English, and I know English quite good. So there was like, Ireland would be great.
Yeah. Now, when you arrived here, you already had been, if you like, adopted by a family who were there to meet you when you arrived.
Yeah. So We came to a family and there was like a war meeting, and the next day, like when we arrived in Dublin, a lot of neighbors came, and they, and even my grandmother, she didn't understand English, but she knew that the people were happy, like, to see us. They so welcomed us warmly, and there was like they were so sincere.
So you then had to go to school because you're only 12 years of age, so you have to continue your schooling. What was that like, meeting your new classmates, and did you understand them easily?
First day of my school, it was 1st of April, start of new month. And like, I thought there was like, would be a big issue with language and it would be like quite hard for me. But when I came, I met girls and I understand them easily. And I thought there was, for me, would be a hard mathematics and other like geography because they're everything in English. But I just, when I had like some issues with what does mean this word, I just used translator. But I understand most of parts, and for me it was like, starting was quite good and not so hard.
Now, do you keep in touch with your school friends from Ukraine?
Yes, we keep in touch, and every week, once a week, we are chatting or call each other, and most of them, like, I still in Kharkiv, at least three of them. And I know that some of my friends, they in Dnipro, and they so much worry about situation in Kharkiv, and they miss for days when it was peaceful sky and we were together, and who is in Kharkiv, they so much afraid, and they stayed in the district where it's like in North Saltivka, and it's so terrifying because sometimes they hear drones. And
do you watch Ukrainian television to keep in touch with what's going on?
Yes, I have, or in Telegram or in YouTube, they in live, so they mix together and we can watch easily in YouTube.
Yeah. Do you hope to go back to Ukraine, to Kharkiv, soon or ever?
I know that like everything should be rebuilt because it's easy to destroy it's easy to destroy it in few seconds, but to rebuild this, it would take a few years or even decades. And I hope when everything will be rebuilt, when bombs will be removed and be safe like it was before, I hope to visit my friends and I hope to visit my classmates and to see them how they're getting on.
Your book has been an extraordinary success.
Really?
Yes. I mean, it's going to be translated into multiple languages. The audiobook is being voiced by Keira Knightley, the famous actress. So what next for you? I mean, will you write another book?
Yes, I'm writing the next book. How I'm getting on in Ireland and where I traveled and what I'm discovered. And I'm going to write like how that I've been in Irish Sea and I swam there.
Swam in the Irish Sea.
Yeah, it was quite
cold.
Cold, so cold.
All right. Well, I wish you all the luck in the world for yourself and your grandmother, who's joined us this morning, but she doesn't speak English, so she has just to listen to our interview. But I wish you very well in school and in your future and for this book and the next book. This book is called You Don't Know What War Is. It's published by Bloomsbury. It's available pretty much everywhere. And its author is Ieva Skalietzka. And Ieva, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. Tender, juicy, and its own sauce. Would you look at that? Well, you can't see it, but trust me, it looks delicious. New McCrispy strips, now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.